Okay. And as I was just beginning with, you know, we live in a very difficult and tricky time, because, you know, I was discussing this with somebody last night. Many of these questions and issues didn't really arise until very recently, because even the thought of celebrating some type of secular holiday, in a sense, I mean, of course, in different societies, but there are very few times in our history where there's been such a closeness and an acceptance of the Jewish people as a whole, and an unfortunate assimilation into the society as a whole. Have there been times similar to it? There were, but I don't know if there's been anything. I'm not a sociologist, but I don't know if there's been ever a time in Jewish history where we've been so welcomed and so much a part of the society and culture, and that unfortunately leads to...
Sorry? Oh, no, nothing. I'll tell you later off.
Off there. You know, because of that, and that's our challenge, where we're kind of balancing, on the one hand, the acceptance and openness of the, as Rav Moshe Feinstein calls it, the Medina Shel Chesed of America, the country of kindness, in that it allows us to have the freedom to worship and the freedom to be, and with freedom and acceptance beyond what many other societies allow and have allowed in the past. At the same time, that comes with the dangers of the possible assimilations because of that acceptance. And once you break down the barriers and between and the walls that separate us from the outside world, so that can unfortunately lead to tragic consequences. Of course, it doesn't have to. It's not necessary, and it doesn't mean therefore we can't do A, B, C, or D. It's just to put that in the context of, you know, our mindset and our struggles, but to understand where the halachas are coming from, in that the halachas are specifically, in a sense, to avoid that. Going all the way back to the Isser in the Torah of Ubechukoseim Loseleichu, the Isser that we're really discussing, and we're in the middle of learning about Chukas Akum. So Chukas Akum, in a sense, according to many of the opinions, is almost a pasuk in the Torah where we normally would ascribe a reason like this to an Isser D'Rabbanan. Like, for example, as we'll discuss in the future at some point, we'll get to Bishul Akum and, you know, Stam Yenam, the wine and cooking and baking, Pas Akum, and all the practical halachos that they present today. And the reason for many of those, as we'll see, the Gemara says, because of chasmus. There was a concern for intermarriage. Something that we can certainly understand today, especially in light of that report that came out, that survey that came out not too long ago, where it said that over 50% of Jews who are getting married in America are intermarrying, which is a very frightful number, right? And if you take the Orthodox out of it, the percentage obviously, unfortunately, grows. So the Chukasim Lo Seleichu, the Isser in the Torah, is also, in a sense, not to prevent intermarriage per se, but it's to prevent an assimilation of Jews amongst the Gentiles. Because, not because of anything, because there's supposed to be a separation. We are different. We have different values. We share many values, but we have different values. It doesn't mean that one group needs to be respected and one not. Everybody needs to be respected. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that everybody is created B'Tselem, in the image of Hashem. We know that we are, the Mishnah says, so we're even more beloved because we are told that we're created in the image of Hashem. But we know the Medrash about the Egyptians, even the Egyptians who were wicked people. Even when they were drowning in the sea, Hashem said, how could you sing out in praise if my handiwork is drowning in the sea. So we see that it's simply because there is a difference in purpose and responsibility and goals in the world, in the way we live our lives, in the way they live their lives. And in a sense, they're able to live in their way, we're able to live in our way, and we're fortunate to live in such a peaceful and accepting time. We're so fortunate to be able to in our town, you can feel it. They have their trucks going around tonight. We have Hanukkah trucks, right? You ask somebody 50 years ago in an American town if you think that the Jews can ask to have a Hanukkah truck because they have their fire trucks going around on December 24th. No way, right? No, not possible. So we're so welcome in America. It's so kind and open and welcoming to us that it makes it even more difficult to say, but we have to stop there. That being said, we have a responsibility to say, but we're stopping there because we need to. And that's what some of these halachas are about. And at what point do we say, well, that's too much? And at what point do we say, well, that's still within what we would consider to be acceptable? So what I'd like to do tonight is almost like twofold, because they're really two different issues to deal with when dealing with secular holidays, right? One is our relationship and actions with the non-Jews on their secular holidays, and the other is how we act, and if we can take part in those secular holidays, because they're almost two separate issues. So obviously, it might also depend on the holiday, because any celebration is not considered necessarily problematic, right? So we have to understand what the holiday is. So first, let's just read through a few halachos in the Shulchan Aruch, which is this side of the page, where it's the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Siman Kuf Mem Ches. I just took five halachos, just to give us a little bit of background. Some of these that we've discussed in the past. If Aleph says Shlosha Yamim Lifnei Chagam Shel Ovdei Avodas Kochavim, Aser Likach Mehem V'Limkor Lahem Davar Hamizkayim. 3 days before a holiday of idol worshippers, it is forbidden to purchase from them or to sell to them or to buy from them something that will last, because only something that will last is serious enough. But we know that, we've discussed that in the past a little bit. As opposed to Mutter Limkor Lahem Davar She'enu Mizkayim Ad Yom Chagam Kigon Yirakos V'Tavshil. Now nowadays it might be a little bit different because we have refrigerators, so food that you would sell 3 days prior to tomorrow will still be around come tomorrow. So, okay, that's one halacha. This is a halacha based on the first mission of Avodah Zarah that we keep referencing. The mission of Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to do business with them 3 days before their holiday. And then the Mishnah had a second opinion that said, and 3 days after their holiday. So, now, all that being said, we said that it's only, this halacha is specifically by idol worshippers. It's not by any non-Jew, it's only by idol worshippers. So that gets into the question of which religions are considered idol worshipping religions and which not. And that, that we spoke about the Rambam and the Meiri, the Christianity and Islam, and we spoke about Hinduism a few weeks ago as well. Siv Dalid, and we'll get back to that halacha. Sif Dal says, "Bamed Dvarim Amurim be'Eretz Yisrael." That's referring to in Israel. Aval b'Shar Rakos Eino Atzer Ela Yom Chagam Bilvad. But everywhere else outside of Israel, it's only the day of the holiday. It's not 3 days prior to the holiday that are forbidden to do business. But just the day of the holiday alone. Why would there be a difference between Israel and outside of Israel? Why would that be the distinction? So there, what?
You're probably especially not supposed to do avodah zarah.
Oh, in Israel. Okay, so that could be, although in theory, right? The Israel avodah zarah, it's forbidden to worship idols in Israel, out of Israel. You're saying it's
maybe a little more.
Okay, I hear. Why else? There are two reasons. Rashi gives one reason. There's another reason. One of them we've mentioned in the past, and one of them we didn't. Maybe we mentioned both of them. We mentioned both of them. So one opinion, Rashi says that the reason is this, the Beis Yosef quotes. Rashi says the reason is because in Israel, we live mostly amongst Jews. So you can get by with just doing business with Jews, and you can say, well, 3 days before their festival, don't do any business with them, and your business won't have to close. But in Galus, in exile outside of Israel, there's no way. You can't live. You can't have a business and say, "Oh, it's 3 days before your holiday. We can't do any business with you." Especially if you remember Tosus in the first daf in Avodah Zarah says that every Sunday, if Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah, then Sunday is a holiday. That means every 3 days before every Sunday, and according to the other opinion, 3 days before and 3 days after every Sunday, you can't do any business with Christians. You're not left with many days, if any, to do any business. So he says, it's not possible because you can't not do business in outside just on the days of the holidays. Okay, we can understand that, we can still live with that. The other reason which is given, and this is going to be in Sif Yud Beis, we'll see that the whole thing is kind of minimized to an extent. But and the Taz says, and this is based on that Tosos in Avodah Zarah, that nowadays the idol worshippers, at least outside of Israel apparently, aren't real idol worshippers. Right? They're just doing whatever they were taught. Right? They minigav was saying be a dayan. Right? They're not, in Tosos' word, they're not so religious. Right? Tosos says, why can't you do business 3 days before? Because we're concerned that if you do business 3 days before, what? Then he's going on the holiday. He'll go to church with greater fervor and be more appreciative and pray more. And we're causing him then to worship Avodah Zarah, which we know is one of the seven Noahide laws. So he's also prohibited to worship Avodah Zarah. So I can't cause him to either mention the name of his God or to worship Avodah Zarah. So the concern is that if I do business with him and we have this great deal 3 days beforehand, he'll go to church and worship his God more so. So therefore we can't. So Tosa says, but you know, nowadays the Avodah Zarah, unfortunately in today's day and age is probably most religions, fill in the blank religion on the guy in the street, he's not so religious. And chances are he won't even go to church or shul, unfortunately, fill in the blank. He probably won't even go to worship in his synagogue or his place of worship on his holiday. Right? How many of them, percentage-wise, less than 50% probably go on the holiday. I don't know the percentages and how many go to Mass tomorrow or watch Mass. But I would imagine it's less than 50%. Right? If the Orthodox Jews are a sliver of the pie of the Jews in America, so, I would imagine that, I don't know the numbers, I have nothing to base this on.
It depends where you are.
Yeah, it could be, and Tosfos is saying, the non-Jews around us, they're not so religious, so they're not really, we don't have as much of a concern that they're going to end up going.
Less religious now than they even were.
For sure,
years ago,
for right? Sure, right. And Tosfos is writing in France, or Germany, and different Tosfos, but yeah, certainly. So if it was true in his day, so that's what Sif Yud Beis is going to say. And we can skip down just to look at the first line of Sif Yud Beis. He says, Yesh Omrim She'ein Kol Dvarim Elu Amurim Ela Ba'oso Zman. That all of these halachos were specific to that time period. Aval B'zman Hazeh Einam Ovdei Avodas Kochavim. They're not really idol worshippers. Right? They're not really so religious. L'fichach Mutter Lases They're not really so religious, or that might mean they're not really considered to be idol worshippers. They may worship. We agree about the creator of the heavens and the earth, so maybe it's not considered Avodah Zarah. Whatever exactly he means, therefore all of these things, or at least most of these things, would fall by the wayside and they would be okay. So that's kind of the big question with all of these halachos are, do they apply today? A, do they apply to the non-Jews who we're in contact with because maybe their religion is not considered to be Avodah Zarah? And then specifically to doing business, where the concern is that they're going to go and thank their and worship more, or thank their religion more because of our transaction, maybe they're not. Maybe we can assume that they're not really going to go. And if, once you make that assumption, again, you put all this together with the idea of Rashi, that since we live amongst so many non-Jews, the majority of people around us purchasing from us, that we're doing business with their non-Jews, so you can't just shut down the store every few days. So you put all that together, and that's why Tosus writes his question. And this is Tosus's hundreds of years ago, and he was writing as, nobody does that. He says, nobody in my town doesn't do business with the local for 3 days before and 3 days after. How could it be that nobody follows this halacha? And that's how he answers the question. So it's a little bit of a little bit like.
It could be a little bit. It's interesting because now that you have e-commerce, you could be doing dealings with people in India or other places where you're actually admonishing what the Zohar is now.
That's true.
So now
that's
there's
true.
Other more complex aspects.
That's true. That's interesting. Right.
You can't, we wouldn't even know when it's 3 days before there.
Right.
I mean, because they've got all
like
kinds of holidays.
Well,
that's like Mamash
Shabbos, but they don't know what the.
Yeah, but somebody's doing, well, just maybe doing a big deal. We're talking about where they're going to be happy or whatever.
Yeah, well, this is not necessarily a big deal.
This
so
is even more so.
Yeah,
somebody
right.
from India, it's before their, who knows, whatever their
right.
holidays, and they have
right.
real about those are holidays.
Right.
I mean, even more so than, let's say,
right.
Christianity. Perhaps.
So then, it's true, it's a good point.
And they buy a camera from Peter.
The other issue that comes into play in all of this is Eva, right? Aleph Yud Vez Hey, which means ill will, ill feelings that are created. And that's an issue. I mean, that's a real issue, a reason for leniency. And it's a real issue. We'll see this kind of messy printing on the bottom. We'll see in a minute. And I'll explain to you why it looks so much, it's not as neat as the computerized version. In a minute, but we'll see that actually plays into it. So it's true, while today where the world being flat could create potentially more issues because of the web, and then it gets to really more complex issues. Am I selling to them? Is my store selling? Is the corporation selling to them? When B&H sells something, so is it a Jew selling something to me, or is it the company, right? And they own the company. But maybe the company, right? There's a big question about, for an example,
well,
as to where.
On Shabbos.
So that, yeah, but that's because they'll be making money on Shabbos.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they're the ones making the sale. I mean, I guess you could say that it is. You're saying it is. Ultimately, it comes back to that. No, there is a big question in halacha as to whether corporations are considered separate entities and their owners.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
you're talking about stocks.
We spoke about it when with stocks, right? When can I own stock in something that's Aser Bahana, right? Avodah Zarah. Can I own stocks in Avodah Zarah company? Or can I own stocks in... Yeah, but those are not Aser Bahana. I'm allowed to get benefit from...
About general mills on Pesach.
Exactly. That's where the question came up. That's what we discussed a few years ago. I don't know when it was. Whenever it was, we spoke about whether stocks had to be kosher. And A, on Pesach, and B, the rest of the year, Buster V'Cholov, right? Let's say you had a company who sells, well, it's a McDonald's, right, they don't cook the milk and meat together. They...
Cheeseburgers?
They don't cook it together, apparently. They just put the cheese on top of the meat. And anyway, it's trif, not kosher meat. So not kosher meat, it's only Durabana. Buster V'Cholov means Durabana. You have separate issues. You can't eat there. It's not kosher. It's still in the Vela Midoresa. But it's not Basar B'Cholov Midaraisa. The difference being that it's not Aser B'Hana. We're still not supposed to, have our business. But let's say it was something that is Aser B'Hana. Let's say it was Basar B'Cholov. Somebody sells, milk and meat that's cooked together. Why would they use kosher meat? Yeah, that's a good question. And kosher milk.
Yeah, it is all good.
I guess, in theory. But anyway, so that was a question. Or another question that comes up is, when you buy, we know that you have to tovel. Let's say you have to tovel a pot, right? You have to tovel a pot. You buy a Farberware pot, it's metal. You have to tovel the pot before you use it. So the question is, you have to tovel a pot if you buy it from a non-Jew, right? If a Jew buys a pot from a non-Jew, a metal utensil from a non-Jew, you have to tovel it. What if you buy it from a corporation? So is the corporation not Jewish? It's not Jewish, but is it not Jewish? It's not a Jewish person, but is it a non-Jewish person? Is it like a non-Jewish person? Or do we say, no, a corporation is a corporation. It's a separate entity. Or do we say, well, it depends. Who owns the corporation? Is it majority of Jews own the corporation? Is it majority of non-Jews own the corporation? And would that define the status of the corporation? Or is it a third-party entity? So there is, you kind of get into the same questions and when doing sales, but I would think it's very difficult nowadays to make distinctions. You know, you, I can sell to you. I can't sell to you. I can't. You know,
it would be illegal. Probably.
It would probably be illegal, and it would obviously create serious issues of Eva. And you know, maybe we'd have to think about another time to figure out what Eva would allow. Right? What would it allow? What wouldn't it allow? You know, because that's an interesting question as well. Okay, so if hey is actually apropos for today as well, he says, "Us the Shulchan Aruch says, 'Asher lishloach doron la'ovei kochavim biyom chagam.' You can't send a gift to an idol worshiper on the day of his holiday. Ela in no dash ena moda bavoz chavim ve'inu ovdam, unless you know it's known that he doesn't worship that idol." So too, if a non-Jew or an idol worshiper sends a gift to a Jew on the day of their holiday, you shouldn't accept it. And if you're worried about Eva, then mekablo, you can accept it. But then v'yizrkenu b'fanav lebor o lemakom ha'aved kil achar yad, you should throw it out in front of him. But you should do it kalachar yad, make it look like it was an accident. So that's the way the Shulchan Aruch on the day of their holiday.
Oh, so before it's all right.
Well, I didn't say that either. I didn't say that either.
That's why work is closed tomorrow.
The exchanging of gifts is
actually,
certainly.
I had a Secret Santa only like once. Anywhere, and I happen to have to pick out a Jewish person, and I don't remember who, whatever.
So you got them something Hanukkah.
I got him like, he's a big jet town. I got him a jet or something.
And you're happy
love.
Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's an interesting question as to what, you know. Again, there would be an issue of Eva for one to say I can't take part, or maybe not. And every person has to decide in their circumstance, and you know, but that's for another time. But this is specifically so the Shulchan Aruch writes they have to throw it out in front of him. The Tur and the Rambam write that all they say is you can't get any benefit from it, but they don't say anything about throwing it out in front of him, right? I would imagine, and in a sense they say, if you throw it in front of him, it's more Eva. Right, more hatred. It's like I gave you this nice mug, and you take it and you throw it up and accidentally drop it. Like what does that look like? How is that? Oh, that. Oh, okay. Thanks for accepting my gift. You know, better you should have just said keep it. So you know, but that's machlokes and Shulchan Aruch on the tour. Exactly what to do with that type of a gift. Fine. Then Sif Ches, and finally Sif Ches says, "Ein yom hachag asher ela la'ovdin bo bilvad." It's only forbidden the day of the holiday and all these things—the gift and the business, all those things—and also wishing happy holidays. Also, you know, gets into a question what you can say, especially on the day of the holiday as opposed to days before, but even days before. But I'm going to leave that out for now because I actually didn't put that on here. So, "Ein yom hachag asher ela la'ovdin bo bilvad." It's only for those who worship that idol that they're celebrating. But the idol worshippers who rejoice and they eat and they drink and they celebrate the holiday, because it's a custom. Or out of respect for the king, who maybe is an idol worshipper. Avalhein einar modimbo, but they don't agree with it. Hare elu mutarim laseis velaseis iman. You can do business with them. That's a loophole. The question is whether that. How far can you take that loophole?
What does it mean by they don't agree with it? It's one thing not to actually be religious and go to their temples and stuff versus specifically not agreeing with that. They're only doing it because the king or.
Yeah.
You know where they're located.
It's a custom.
Right, or a custom, right.
The question is what
like
that
Halloween, perhaps, where
there, they don't really believe at all in it. They just do it because it's become a custom.
Right. It could be. It could, right, it could be.
It
could be.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just right. A fun thing.
So I asked the, right. Yeah. Halloween. I'm wondering if New Year's is the same thing. Because New Year's also, as we'll talk about, has some religious roots. Well, in its creation. To some, in its, to this day. And in its relation, in its creation.
A calandra.
Potentially, the Mishnah talks about Kalandra, and there are those who say that Kalandra is referring to the Mishnah. Gemara says 8 days after something,
today.
Right, the solstice. Well, we now know it's after today, but you know those days it was like after the solstice. So it's not clear when they celebrated December 25th. Whether they celebrated on December 25th or you know that also was kind of moving around the calendar, the Julian calendar, the Gregorian calendar. You know, January 6th, they used to celebrate it, and so you know.
Well, like the Greek Orthodox, right? Don't they have different?
I think so. I think there's some who still celebrate in January.
Yeah.
But I think the most people have nowadays accepted that it was December 25th. But there's a whole question about that also, because there are other holidays that were already being celebrated around there, around the solstice. There were other holidays, and then they kind of took the birth and said, well, also let's throw it in there. You know, there's certain groups who weren't sure when the birth was, so they kind of, you know, the gifts is really from one of these other, I forget which what it's called, but really from one of these other holidays that took place around this time of year. And I think the tree also, right, it has no connection with the birth. I think it also has something
there
to
weren't
do.
That many evergreen.
That, right, that's for sure. No, but you can. But you, they could have had it in the churches as opposed to in everybody's homes. No, but they had them. I did print out some information from old reliable Wikipedia to get the history of some of these days, and it says that there was a holiday of Saturnalia, which is where the gift giving was from, and Yule.
Right,
the Yule has to do with the Yule log. I'm not even sure. That
we should have had one. Yeah.
Last week
we had one.
Oh, is that what those were?
Well, that's why on like a Channel 11, they had like for like a couple hours a Yule log. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't imagine they get such a. So many viewers for that.
Just
the burn in the fireplace.
Oh, it's a log. It's really a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably they probably have
worked. I thought it had something to do with the tree. Is it anything to do with the tree?
They were probably,
I don't know,
worshipping the Yule, the log. But.
Right, so what's the Yule something?
I don't know.
Ancient of the world.
We'll Google it.
I did. This is from Wikipedia.
Oh, there must be
something, right? Take it for what it's worth. But I don't know what I didn't take the whole article. I only took part of it. So there were other holidays around this time. So that's why New Year's also. You know, nowadays if you ask a Stam person in the street, is New Year's why do you celebrate New Year's? There would be very few people who will say to you, well, Yashka's Brit. Very few people will say that.
I think only Jews.
Right. But they won't say it's 8 days after calendar, anything. They'll say, well, it's the new calendar. It's exciting. It's New Year's. So, you know, it became a much less religious holiday. So, do the holidays change? Can their status change from being a day of Avodah Zarah to being a day of non Avodah Zarah? Right, maybe like
now
Halloween.
It's more about football and whatever.
That's like Thanksgiving.
No, but
New Year's also.
College
football. Right, that's true. It's true. So that's the question: how to deal with those. And the truth is, there are those. There are different opinions about it, and we'll see. So fine. So that's just a few halachas.
When it says Yom HaKadosh, is that referring to a halacha day? Is that a calendar day?
Or
that refer to the night before?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would imagine their calendar.
Their calendar.
Which means from morning till night.
Okay.
Meaning the 24-hour period of the day on the calendar. question is what you do with December 24th at night, because this is clearly already a festive time and a time where they're celebrating something, right? So that, you know, maybe this day is a day and a half, and it kind of starts at nightfall and continues until tomorrow night.
One day they start their holiday at nightfall
too. Right. Well, it, again, if it's all based on the birth of,
right.
of
or it could be each one is a Yom Chag.
What do you mean? Like, was today considered a Yom Chag?
You can make an argument.
You can make an argument. But the markets were open.
Only
till
1 o'clock.
Well, so that would say that they hold it, or it's like an early Shabbos.
There's a good party before Easter or each separate holiday. Even though Easter's the main one beforehand, but they can each make an argument for each separate.
I hear. You could make the argument, which would expand the time of Easter to say that more is included. Yeah, I hear. The case can be made. Again, a lot, there's not that much that I found written about this per se. There aren't a lot of tshuvas written about this. There's very little that I found that deals directly with New Year's. Maybe I did a poor job researching, but in all the places I looked, I found this one Truma Sedeshin, which is on the bottom of the page here, which is from like the 14th, 15th century, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein mentions New Year's almost like just as a throw-in, but he doesn't deal with it directly. And beyond that, I'm sure there is writing about it, but I didn't see it, and even the articles I read, nobody quoted direct quotes. And I discussed it with Willie yesterday, asked him what he thought about it, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, these things, they didn't come up. There was usually much greater separation between the society and the Jewish people, that you didn't have such a, you know, such a hazing.
There's a lot written about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is the one. It's only recently.
Okay.
There are three opinions. We'll talk about Thanksgiving. Alright, I guess we could do Thanksgiving. Let me just tell you about this Truma Sedeshin. We won't read it inside. I'll tell you why it's in this print. This is Truma Sedeshin. Truma Sedeshin was written, and the Rama quotes this Truma Sedeshin, which is why all his Shuvas are important, but this one especially makes its way directly into the Shulchan Aruch. But the Truma Sedeshin, this is Simon Kuf Tzadik Hei. If you look at a standard version, there is a website on online called HebrewBooks.org, which is a great resource, and has a lot of Svarim online in its original form. So I was looking for this tshuva, and I had heard that in some versions of the Truma Sedeshin it's there, and some versions it's not. It was censored out. Nobody knows by who, probably by the non-Jewish censors, but it was censored out. This tshuva, so I went online, and I clicked on one of the newer looking links, and it was, I couldn't find when it was. But it was clearly a newer, nicer printing of the Truma Sedeshin. Not there. Then I click on another one. Also, nice new printing. Not there. Then I click on one of the old ones, which is what they used to look like this, and it was still there. So, just interesting that, sometimes you'll find this Truma Sedeshin, apparently, in his time, again, this is, I think he lived from like 1390 to 1450, something of that time. And he was asked about giving gifts to, I guess, the priests on New Year's. Because apparently they used to give gifts to the local priests on New Year's. Why would they do that?
Pray for them or something like that?
No. Protection.
For
protection. They wanted to be on good terms with them. This is the 15th century.
The Jews
would give it to
like
the non-Jews.
Stuff,
yeah, basically. So he was asked, can you do that? Now, the problem with doing that is that's giving a gift on the day of their holiday. Right? So, well, is New Year's a holiday? Is it not a holiday? So that's why this. So he doesn't say Pikuach Nefesh. So it's not clear. I don't know historically whether in this area specifically it was a dangerous situation or if it was just always good to be, you know, on the good side of the authorities. Even if it wasn't about the danger, it just, Ava can mean just, you know, for good public relations.
The
in
best
a sense.
Defense is a good offense.
Right, right. So it wasn't even for pikuach nefesh, because it doesn't mention pikuach nefesh. So it was just, you know, they wanted favors, so they, you know. And so he goes on to talk about how, basically he says that you should give it a day before. Right? He says, ideally, give it a day before. And he says, and if you can't, because they specifically want to get it on the day, or if the day before is Shabbos, let's say New Year's is Sunday, so when can you, you can't give it on the day before. And if you give it afterwards, they get upset at you, because he says, why do they want these gifts on the day of their on the day of New Year's? He says, well, because it's just like we have Simanim on Rosh Hashanah, they want to get gifts specifically on their New Year's as like a good sign. Oh, it's going to be a good year. Look at all these gifts I got on New Year's. If you give them on January 2nd, it doesn't have the same effect. So they won't be happy with you. So he says, because of Ava, there's room to be lenient even on the day of New Year's itself. Right? That's basically what he writes. But ideally, he says, don't give it on the day of New Year's because of these halachos. So is it a religious holiday? Is it not considered a religious holiday? L'chatchil it is, b'dievet it's not. Right? It's hard to know what that means. Or you would say, no, he says it is a religious holiday, which is why he says don't give the gift on the holiday. But because of Ava, maybe you're allowed to give a gift on the holiday. Because it's all, you know, maybe he will go and thank his Lord for the gift. So it's not 100% clear from the Truma Sedeshin, I think, whether that's considered to be. And the Ramah also, the censors also took this out. And this version is back in there. At the end of Sif Yud Beis here, he mentions the second to last line. Says, V'chenim shaleh doro la'obe kochavim bizman hazeh. If you send a gift to an idol worshipper nowadays, b'yom shmini sha'achar nitl, on the eighth day after Nitlnach, which is tonight, shekorin naya yor, or New Year. Sheyesh lahem siman, there's a sign, im yagia lahem doron b'chagahu, it's a good sign for them if they get a gift on that day. Im efshalo yishlach lo mi ba'erev, better you should send it the previous day, so that you're not giving a gift on the day of New Year's itself. V'im lo yishlach lo b'chagahu, but if you can't, then send it to them on the day itself.
This is also only if the people that you're sending it to, specifically that their religion is Avodah Zarah, like fully, right? Because it seems like, well, we had a discussion about the two main different groups of religions these days, and whether or not they're actually real considered Avodah Zarah or not, and it could, you can really look at it both, you know, you have different opinions on either way. Is any of these halakhah, or is it that it's only for a definite someone who's of
the Avodah Zarah,
right?
So the Rambam would say that it's referring to Christians, and the Meiri would say it's referring to Muslims. Right.
So
everybody would agree that the Buddhists are.
Yeah.
No, I told you when we talked about it.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me an article.
Right.
There are some who want to say nowadays that maybe they're also not Buddhists, Hindus. Buddhism is not so clear what it is. There's no one sure if it's a religion. There's no God involved. It's a whole different Buddhism. It's not, nobody's sure what to do with it.
Yeah.
Hindus, most assume, is idol worship. Because they actually have idols. And they have different gods. They have the sun god, the moon god, the fire god.
Well,
they have different. Buddha is a value system.
Yeah, but the
idol
is like an idol
of him, because he represents the perfect man.
Oh, it's not. They're not actually.
From what I understand, he represents a perfect man.
Well,
no, not in a godly sense, but rather one who perfected himself and became one with nature.
Isn't that pretty much godly?
No, they wouldn't worship him.
Oh.
They worship what he
nature.
What he became, in a sense. that he's almost he's their guiding light. You know, he's their Rebbe.
Like a Moshe.
Right.
The one who came closest to full.
In a sense, but nobody worships Moshe.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not. We need a title, right? He is a comparative religion major or something. So I'm not sure exactly what they believe in, and what, you know, if you ask your Stama Buddhist on the street, what's he going to say, as opposed to, you know, that was the whole issue what we learned about the Indian hair shakels. So, you know, the Stam Indians who were there worshipping said one thing, and the priests said and the scholars said another thing. So, you know, what do you do with something like that? Do you trust one over the other? Who do you trust? So that's part of the, you know, we can't really know what all these things, and I guess some people do, but, you know, we don't really know what all these things mean. But yes, most people assume that Indians who worship idols are idol worshippers. That they're the most, you know, the real pure idol worshippers that we have. You know, the other ones like Islam and Christianity, those are more questions in their belief system of a God. Is that understanding of and perception of God and their book of laws in line with what we would consider Avodah Zarah or not? But it's not that they're bowing down necessarily to an idol. Right? Certainly not Islam. Christians, maybe. You know, you have some with the cross and the, maybe, but Islam, there's no worshipping of anything besides God. Even Muhammad was a prophet. He wasn't. So, yeah, I'm not sure that would change anything. Yes, what the halacha would be, considering those religions, would define whether these are issues nowadays living in America, or are there issues living in an Arab country. But, you know, there does seem to be, most assume that December 25th is considered a day of Avodah Zarah. Right? That seems to be the working assumption.
Then it has to be an assumption that the religion is
right. Right, in a sense, right.
Otherwise it wouldn't.
Otherwise nothing to talk about.
Right.
Right. Correct. And if you assume that, and therefore, you know, what, you know, then that leads to the question, so what's New Year's? Because New Year's is still also connected with that, with the religious. And again, the beginnings were religious. So there's a change, or like it says here, if they're doing it out of minhag, so does that change the way they worship it? Does that change the status of the day in regard to doing business with them? This is all doing business with them and sending them gifts, right? Like holiday bonuses, or, you know, when you live in an apartment building, you tip the super because you want him to come fix your sink when you need him, and you know that he won't if you don't tip him. Bus driver, right? Same idea. So you shouldn't tip the bus driver tomorrow, or tomorrow. But again, in theory, you could say, you know, I'm going to work tomorrow.
I have a tip for my newspaper delivery person. Bring it earlier. Thank
you. if you're listening, bring it earlier.
They ask for a tip. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's the commercial. So let's go with the, so those, okay, that's dealing with the non-Jew on their day of worship. So that leaves us, of course, less time than I thought regarding how do we approach celebrating those days. So the only day that there's a lot of or a significant amount of writing about, literature about, is Thanksgiving. And, of course, in Thanksgiving you'll find three different opinions and three different approaches. You have, on the one hand, I would say the most stringent approach, and that's written in one of the letters of the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner is well known in some circles as being the rabbi on the plane that was hijacked. That went not in Tebbi, the other one.
Before 1971, 72.
Right.
Wasn't Jared Richter on something like that?
Yeah. He was?
No, he posted a picture from a newspaper.
On that one?
I think it might actually be.
Not in Tebbi.
Not in Tebbi.
So it must be the other one.
It was another famous plane.
Uganda? They went to, not Uganda. Debbie. The other one. So, anyway, Huttner was there. He was on that plane. And he was, you know, already a big rub and he has letters where he basically says that there are a few issues. He said, first of all, you can't add to the calendar. You can't add a date to the calendar. And this is something that Moshe Feinstein deals with also. That there's a Ramban al HaTorah that the Ramban says by the Pasuk of Baal Tosif, where the Torah says that you shouldn't add on to the mitzvos. The Ramban's example that he uses is that you can't add a holiday. Right? You can't add a holiday onto the calendar as a set day. And he says, the proof for this is from the Gemara Megillah that talks about Purim, where there was actually a disagreement between Mordechai. That's an issue. That's part of hold on. No, just hold that thought. It's an issue. Again, according to this opinion, because they say even by Mordechai and Esther wanted to make a yomtiv, and the rabbi said you can't make a yomtiv. And there was a disagreement, but even to institute Purim, the Gemara says. In the end, they allowed it because they said, it's Ruach HaKodesh, and Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh, so you have to allow it to be considered a yomtiv. But originally, they didn't want to add, because it's Baal Tosef, it's adding on to the calendar, and you can't add on to the calendar. That's one issue. The other one, he says, is that it's not even adding on to our calendar. He says the bigger issue is that it's adding on to their calendar. And using their calendar, it's as if we're worshipping Avodah Zarah, or it's giving kavod to their calendar, and it's an abizrayu of Avodah Zarah.
But nowadays, even though we have our own separate calendar, who doesn't use the
true, but
calendar?
We use it because we...
Right.
We'll talk about using it. Maybe next week we'll talk about using
it.
Using the secular calendar. Right, so...
Israel, it's used.
Okay, so maybe there's a whole discussion about it. Some people don't. Some people don't. Don't use the secular calendar. But so
that's... function of society?
I don't know, but they have their own societies. Or they only use it, and they say, limis parum. Right, that's what Huttner says. Whenever we say that one of their days, we say limis parum, according to their counting, which shows it's not ours. So how could we then celebrate a date on their calendar if we're saying it's not ours? So that's his opinion. The other opinion on the opposite extreme is Rav Schechter, Herschel Schechter from YU, in his halachic or hashkafic biography of the Rav, in his few volumes, but in one of them he quotes that Rav Soloveitchik on Thanksgiving used to give shir early. He always gave shir, but he gave shir early, and he said that, and he used to go home to his family in Boston. He used to tell the students to go home and have a meal with their families, and they claim he used to eat turkey, and so they say that he felt it was a nice day, that it was a Thanksgiving. The middle opinion is that of Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is kind of, he has three tshuvas about it, all written in a very short period of time. And that's just on the back of the sheet, which we don't have time to look through now. But basically he says, it's his grandson, writes him a letter and says, in one tshuva you said it's chukas akum. In the other tshuva you said you don't think there's anything wrong with it. Which one is it? That's made him do that. So what he basically says is that he doesn't think that it's connected to Avodah Zarah, because there weren't priests who decided that we should celebrate Thanksgiving. That the origins of Thanksgiving is maybe the pilgrims and the Indians celebrated something when they found some food, maybe. But it officially became part of the calendar by Lincoln. Right? President Lincoln was the one who officially, George Washington signed some type of proclamation after a very tough harvest and winter. And but Thanksgiving wasn't officially the last Thursday or the fourth Thursday of whatever exactly, however it works.
It got moved.
But Lincoln was the first one in 18. I forget what, 1860. Does that make sense? Lincoln. So he was the one who signed into law the idea of that we should have a day of Thanksgiving to our God in heaven or something like that. But that doesn't make it a religious day per se. Right? It's not a. Not a day that
it's
connected to Avodah Zarah. What?
It's sort of like a deist.
Yeah, it's a day of thanks.
Christian, like
right. So now you could say, but we don't we don't have a day of thanks, right? We say modim every day. We're Yehudim. We're always appreciative, so we don't need a day of thanks. Okay.
It's more of an American thing. It's not even a
Right.
It's like July 4th, really.
Right. So it's similar to July 4th. The difference is that it's become... So his feeling is, Rav Moshe's feeling was, or so it seems from his tshuva, basically, that he's not doesn't think that it's really connected to Avodah Zarah. But still, we know that Chukas Akum is a little broader than that, and as we discussed in the last few weeks, that Chukas Akum is also includes anything that's done just for no real reason. Right? Anything that's done for no real reason would be forbidden to do, because if we do it, we just seem to be doing it to be like them. So he says, Thanksgiving is not really enough of a reason to make a Yom Tov. He says, so they found the turkey? If they didn't find the turkey, they would have found some fish, or they would have found something else. And if the pilgrims didn't make it in America, somebody else would have finally found America. He's not convinced that it's such a... The miracles of the day, or the value of the day, is significant enough. That being said, he says, still, you know, it's a day of appreciation, a day of thanks. So Rav Moshe's opinion, why I say it's in the middle, is because he says he doesn't think it's Chukas Akum to have a meal on the day and to get together with family. He says, but to make it like a chiyuv, to make it like an obligation, thinking we have to do this, we have to do that, he says that he thinks would be a problem maybe of adding a day to the calendar. That once you have obligations where I have to have turkey today, or we have to go and all get together, you know, in his mind it's almost like better you should skip a year every once in a while just to show that it's not something I'm obligated to do, like Purim. It's not a chiyuv. I don't view it as something that I have to do. It's a nice thing. My family gets together. It's nice to get together with family and to be together and be thankful. You know, it's a midah that we all agree is a positive midah, to be thankful and appreciative. So that's why he's kind of in the middle approach. So he says, so when he says to his grandson, I said it was Chukas Akum, because that's if you make it like it's a real Yom Tov and you can't miss it, and it's a holiday, it's an obligation, that he thinks is Chukas Akum. But to celebrate it and to get together on such a day and to eat turkey, he says, even, is not considered to be Chukas Akum. So he's kind of in the middle. Well, he's in the middle because the day is...
But then are you really going to say no?
Then what?
I'm not going to do Thanksgiving this year. I'm not.
So there are people who don't do Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
Like
Shemitah.
Again,
we don't have a hot dog on July 4th.
So nobody writes about July 4th. Because there's no... Nobody sees it as a chiyuv to have a barbecue. Right?
But it is a custom.
It's become a but what to do what? So right, so you're right. So but what do we? What would we do to celebrate July 4th? We have a barbecue. It's hard to say that a barbecue would be usser. You can't have a barbecue on July 4th. You know, to say that I have to have a barbecue today because it's July 4th, that maybe Rav Moshe would agree would be in the same category. But to say, oh, it's July 4th, why don't we have a barbecue? It's a little bit in the mindset and in the perspective. If you see this, I have to have turkey today because it's I have to get together and have a turkey dinner because of Thanksgiving. That's saying that I'm adding an obligation to my calendar, right? And that gets into a question of Baal Tosef.
And that a birthday party. Some people say they have a party every year on their birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Or an anniversary, or right.
Any type of celebration happened to them. Let's say they recover from an illness, they could make themselves every year. Or
So there are specific halachos about that. Yes, right. But that's a personal day. So you're right, personal day. So maybe we can say that's a different. Maybe a birthday. Maybe it's more like a personal day.
Well, everyone has one.
Yeah, but only you have yours.
Right, but. Okay,
I don't know. I hear it. It's a good question. How to deal with that adding to the calendar issue for a birthday and maybe celebrate your Hebrew birthday. But it would still be an issue. And it would be irrelevant as to whether it's a Hebrew birthday, English birthday. You're right. It's a good question. How would Rav Moshe deal with that? That's a good question. I don't know. I think about that.
Or a bar mitzvah.
No, but a bar mitzvah would be different. Because a bar mitzvah is a one-time thing. He says, one-time thing, for sure, no problem. That is the Gemara about Yanai HaMelech, he quotes that, who had a, they made some yomtiv because of some miracle that happened to them. Right? Some great war, so they made a yomtiv. He says, there's no problem to make a one-time thing. A Sudas Hodah, something happens, you make a Sudas Hodah, and you're finished. But to make it every single time, so there are specific halachos. An individual, what if it's for a whole city, so there are halachos about, you know, when you can, when you can't. But it's a good question, birthday. That's what I would think off the top of my head. So that's Thanksgiving, you know, different opinions, different approaches. Halloween, I don't know. Halloween, it clearly has pagan roots. It clearly, whatever the roots are, I have some of the Wikipedia, All Souls Day, All Hallows Day, and then there's a few other things that were kind of around the same time. All clearly pagan ideas. Nowadays, it has nothing to do with it, right? Nothing. If you ask why you're going trick or treat, nobody has any idea.
What about that? The skeleton,
you ask them why. I'm sure it does. It's all about remembering the souls. I don't know what the scaring people has to do with it. But they used to get dressed up and remember the souls. Some of them put black stuff on their face and go around from house to house saying prayers to awaken the souls and to remember the souls of who passed away. I don't know. It's like a big yard site. You know, it's like a, I don't know. Yeah, it's, I don't know what the whole idea with the ghosts and scaring people and the gallows, you know. I don't know. I give up. I'm not sure what to say about that one. But it's clearly pagan. It's clearly pagan origin. And if it's pagan origin, even though now it's completely lost its pagan celebration, I mean, in most places at least, I would still think that it would be considered chukas akum to go around trick or treat.
So then you couldn't give if a trick or treat came to your house.
So what about what about giving them? What?
On their yom tov, then you're giving them a snack.
Right.
Encouraging their trick or treat.
Right. So I think because of Eva, you can.
Okay.
That would be a perfect example of Eva. Are we in danger of Hashem? Absolutely not. But does it create a certain image of Jews? And our attitudes and what type of people we are and create ill will in the community? 100%. Right? So I can hear why you can give, especially because the Truman Sedeshin even says, you know, especially because they're not doing it as a way of celebration. Right? It's not Avodah Zarah, mamish. If it was actual Avodah Zarah, then we probably wouldn't be able to aid them in their Avodah Zarah. Right? That we can't do. But to give them a candy on a day that they celebrate as a cultural American holiday of walking around trying to get some candy, that I don't think would be considered to be aiding them in their worship of Avodah Zarah, but it would be chukas akum for a Jew to go around and trick or treat. But for us to give candy, I don't think so, because I think that would be at least under the, even if it needs it, I'm not sure that it would even need it, but certainly has the issue of Ava of creating ill will and ill feelings towards Jews as a whole, in a sense, that I think that would allow us to give candy. And then, you know, December 25th is December 25th. I mean, I don't know any Jews who celebrate unless, again, except for the real assimilated ones, but, you know, that's not such an issue. I don't know what they would do. You know, they give gifts. It comes up when, you know, co-workers and giving gifts and that. So that's questionable. It's best to try to stay out of all of those things when it comes to December 25th, because that is the most connected to Avodah Zarah of all the holidays. And then New Year's is New Year's. You know, again, you know, I think it's best to not be involved in the celebration of New Year's, because it is the celebration of the calendar and the Gregorian calendar. And it does have pagan roots, or I would say Avodah Zarah roots, in a sense, even though it's lost all that today. And if it hasn't, even if it lost all that today, to take part in the holidays is at least, you know, like just it's chukat akum. I mean, in a sense, is it really, would I say that it's usher from the Torah? I'm not so sure, because Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to group it together with Thanksgiving in one tshuva, that he mentions New Year's, as I mentioned, like he just mentions it, almost like throws it in there. He groups it more like Thanksgiving than like December 25th, but still has more Avodah Zarah roots than a day like Thanksgiving had. So, I would advise that best for us to be, you know, to be separate in those areas. And I don't know what celebration there is on New Year. I don't know how people felt, just to stay up till 12 o'clock is a way of celebrating, Thanksgiving you have the turkey, on Halloween you have the trick-or-treating, on December 25th you have whatever. New Year's, it's just people stay up, go to a party and stay up, but, I don't know, there are other things. Next Tuesday night, if you're looking for something to do next Tuesday night, we'll have a share next Tuesday night, we'll learn stuff. Anyway, that's basically the sugya of the secular holidays. Anything I didn't mention?
Well, maybe holiday parties.
Holiday parties, yeah. I do not.